Are you a believer?
Amen.
That's a good question. Maybe it's a bigger question, or maybe there is more to that question than you may think. Has anybody ever, have you ever asked a question like that to somebody? Have you been in a social or business or any kind of an environment where you've had the opportunity to say, are you a believer? And when you asked that question, what were you saying? Were you saying a believer in what? You believer in Jesus Christ? Are you believing in what Jesus Christ did for us? When you asked that question, are you a believer? What were you asking? And also, what did you get as an answer? Sometimes that can be interesting too, right? And when somebody asked you, are you a believer, how did you answer that? How did you answer the question if somebody, oh, are you a believer? Oh, yeah, I'm a believer. Oh, great. Isn't it nice we're all on the same page? Well, maybe you are and maybe you're not. Okay? Are you a believer? And there's something about belief that struck me the other day because I read this amazing book. And I'm going to share a little bit of it with you today. And this book, well, I'm going to wait a second for Blair to come back because this might be meaningful to him. But this book was recommended to me a few months ago. And the book was written to prove that the Gospels and the writing of the Gospels were absolutely true, because there's a lot of people who won't believe. Oh, it's just a bunch of fables. It's really nice to read the Bible and so on. The name of this book, I think I'll just keep on going, is Cold Case Christianity. Now, Cold Case Christianity is written by J. Warner Wallace, who was a homicide detective. And as a homicide detective, one of the jobs he had as a detective was to solve cold cases. Go back and find who committed the crime. And in using the principles that he was taught as a homicide detective, he took those same principles and he wrote this book. And by using those principles, and I'm not going to go through them because there's how many pages? 400 pages in this book. I'm not going to go through all the principles, but what he did is he used these principles to prove that the Gospels are absolutely true. No fiction in there. Absolutely true. And I'm going to read part of the preface to this book. So bear with me. It's called The Detective Way. It says, I got the call at about 1 o'clock in the morning. Detectives who were assigned to the homicide unit are also investigative officers when there is an officer who is shot. And all of us on the OIS team were called out for this one. When I arrived at the scene, Officer Mark Walker was standing by his patrol car, talking with a sergeant and waiting for our arrival. I shook his hand, made sure he was ready to talk about the shooting, and began to walk through the events that precipitated our call out. Mark told me he was working patrol when he saw a man driving down the street, swerving from lane to lane as though he was drunk. He pulled the driver over and approached his car. When he leaned in to talk to the man, he could smell the alcohol on his breath. Mark asked the man to step out of the car, and the driver reluctantly complied. As the man stood outside his car, Mark could see that this man was angry and he was defiant. Mark decided to conduct a quick pat-down search to make sure the irritated driver wasn't carrying any weapons. Mark had no idea that the driver was Jacob Stevens, a parolee with a long arrest record in an adjacent city. And Jacob had just been released from state prison. He was on parole for an assault charge, and tonight he was carrying a loaded 45 caliber pistol hidden in his waistband. Jacob knew that he would go back to jail if the gun was discovered, and he was determined to stay out of jail. When Mark asked Jacob to turn around so he can conduct the pat-down search, Jacob turned away for a moment, pulled his gun, and then turned back toward Mark, pointing the gun at Mark's chest. "I knew he had the drop on me," Mark explained, as he recalled the events. "His gun was already drawn and pointed at me before I could even get my hand on mine." Jacob had no intention of discussing the situation with Mark. He'd already decided he wasn't going to go back to jail, even if it meant killing this police officer. Jacob pointed his gun at Mark and started to squeeze the trigger. Mark was about to enter the fight of his life, and he was starting off with a distinct disadvantage. He was already seconds behind his opponent. All of us who work in law enforcement understand the importance of wearing our bulletproof vests. When we first became officers, we were trained with these vests, and at some point, most of us were shown how the vests performed in live fire testing. We knew they could stop a bullet, even a 45 round on this night, but on this night, Mark would put his vest to the test. I just tensed my stomach muscles, prepared to take the shot, and as I pulled my gun out of the holster, I knew he would get the first round off. While Mark knew that his vest could sustain the impact of a 45 caliber round, tonight he trusted in the vest for the very first time. In that singular moment, Mark went from belief that to belief in. It's the one thing to believe that the vest can save a life. It's another thing to trust in the vest to save your life. Mark obviously survived the shooting and lived to describe it. And J. Warner Wallace talks about this a little bit more, and I'll go back and I'll ask you the question again now. Are you a believer? Do you believe that Jesus Christ is our Savior, our Lord, and our King? Or have you been put to the test, and do you believe in Jesus Christ? To know and believe Christ. In John chapter 6, verse 35, he says, Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." In Romans, if you declare with your mouth, this is Romans 10, verse 9, if you declare with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. In the book of John, the Gospel of John, 51 times the word believe is used. What does it mean to believe? Let's just go through a couple of them, or a few of things. Well, do you believe that God exists? Do you believe that he exists? Do you believe that he's the great creator? Do you believe that he can help you? Do you believe in God's presence? Do you believe in his love? Do you believe in his grace? Do you believe in his forgiveness? Do you believe that he has time for each and every one of us? All the time, 24/7? Do you believe that he cares for us? Do you believe that he comforts us? Do you believe that he has power? Do you believe that he came in the flesh? Do you believe that he carries our burdens? Do you believe that he answers prayer? Do you believe that he guides us through tough times? Do you believe that he's more than just our Savior and our Lord? We can believe, and we should believe, all of that. All of it. Sometimes when we read the scripture that says to believe in his name, you will be saved. In fact, I'm going to use that in a minute. Believe. This word believe is a gigantic word. And all of it that's behind it. I just listed a whole bunch of things that you can believe. But to believe in Jesus Christ, to put our lives in his hands, we need to believe. We have to put what we believe into action. As that homicide detective had on his vest, it wasn't until he was confronted that he believed in. Before that, all he knew is he had the specifications, he had the details, he had the vest on, he had even seen that it worked. He believed that, but the action took place to make him believe in. We are to believe in Christ. We are to believe in Christ and his promises. He says, I write these things to you. Oh, actually, I got the right scripture in the wrong text. That's not good. Okay. What it should say is, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God so that you may know that you have eternal life. Okay. You believe in so that you know you have eternal life. And the interesting part in Psalm 9, verse 10, he says, those who know your name trust in you. For you, Lord, have never forsaken those who seek you. It's a trust in, not a trust that. Right? And I know this sounds like a very subtle difference, but it's a huge difference. There are many people who will say, yeah, I know who Jesus Christ is. I've heard about him. I've read about him. But they don't believe that. They believe that, but they don't believe in. Do you believe in? I find it amazing. Do you believe in the fact that he comforts us? John read this. John and I did not collude on this. But the next scripture I put up is the one he just read in our prayer time. Because you believe in. Praise be to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of all compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles. He comforts us in all our troubles. So that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we received ourselves. Believing in means we comfort, we give back, we help others. So to put our belief in Christ, number one, follow him. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. In him. In him. Second. And this is his command in 1 John 3 verse 23. To believe in the name of his Son Jesus Christ. And to love one another as he commanded us. To believe in Christ means we love others. We don't just take care of ourselves. We love God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind. We love our neighbor as ourselves. And then he says, and this is his command. Believe in the name of the Son of Jesus Christ and to love. Believe in and love. Hmm. I didn't put up the scripture for this, but the other part of believing in is to be part of the mission that we are given to preach and to teach and to make disciples and to baptize. Is called the Great Commission, to witness and tell people others of who Christ is. So when somebody asks you, are you a believer? What are you going to say? What are you going to say? Oh, I believe that, Jesus Christ, he came, he died on the cross. No. You believe in Christ. I believe in Christ. That's my answer. I believe in Christ, in his name, and all that stands for. And the fourth one, so the first one was, I believe by following. The second one is, I believe by loving. The third one is, I believe by telling people about who Christ is and being able to answer that question, are you a believer? And the fourth one is, and I'm so glad about it, because our example of Mr. Nedo coming here on Wednesday says that we believe enough that we are willing to do what it says in Matthew 25 and go out and help the needy, provide food, do whatever we need to help the people in our community. And we can never do enough. We can never do enough. So I want to read a little bit more from this book. And by the way, everything that I've said in this message was not in this book. This book is used to prove the truthfulness of the Gospels. But I thought it was interesting at the beginning of this book about how Mr. Wheeler turned from believing, or saw Mr. Wallace from believing that to believing in. And then when he gets to the end of the book, he writes this, and he's talking about the people who had witnessed Christ's ascension. He's talking about some of the disciples, and then he says that these people who witnessed Christ, he says, they knew Christ offered more than a guideline for personal behavior. They understood Jesus was the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but through him. The apostolic eyewitnesses gave their lives to help us to understand that we, as the fallen, imperfect humans, are in desperate need of a Savior. They died as martyrs, trying to show us Jesus was, in fact, the Savior who could provide forgiveness for our imperfection. You know, Peter, he quotes scripture here. He quotes Acts chapter 10, starting in verse 38. It says, you know of Jesus of Nazareth, how God appointed him or anointed him with the Holy Spirit and with power, and how he went about doing and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. We are witnesses, this is Paul speaking, Peter speaking. We are witnesses of all the things he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They also put him to death by hanging him on a cross. God raised him up on the third day and granted that he become visible, not to all the people, but to witnesses who were chosen beforehand by God. That is to us who ate and drank with him after he arose from the dead. So here's Peter saying, look, we ate with him, we drank with him, we drank with Jesus Christ. We can prove we were witnesses. We saw Christ alive after his death. And he ordered us to preach to the people and solemnly testify this, that this is the one who has been appointed by God as judge of the living and the dead. Of him all the prophets bear witness that through his name, everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins. I should have put it down in the bulletin. I don't think I did. That's in Acts chapter 10, 38 to 43. So Mr. Wallace, Warner Wallace, sorry. Mr. Warner Wallace then continues and he writes, You see, the apostles recognized, from reading that scripture I just read to you, the apostles recognized their message was a life-saving cure for what was and is killing all of us. They gave their lives to point us to the Savior so we could point even more, so that we can tell people about who Christ is, because we believe in him. And when I recognize, this is Mr. Wallace again, when I recognize the power of this message, I moved from belief that to belief in. I moved from belief that to belief in. Are you a believer? Are you a believer? Do you believe in, or do you just believe that? It's a big difference. Are you a believer? See, we are to put our belief into action. And in John chapter 3, 1 John chapter 3, 18, he says, look, dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with action and in truth. In truth. Great God, help us to believe in who you are, what you've done, that we believe in by showing people what we believe, but not only that, but how we behave, that we love, that we come before you, and that we live what we believe. We live what we believe in. And that when we are asked the question, what do we believe in? We are able to answer with clarity that we believe in Jesus Christ, our Savior and King. That we believe in not only in eternal life, but we believe in love. That we believe in peace, that we believe in the kingdom and pray for it. Grant us this truth. Fill us with the Holy Spirit, that we may learn to live and believe in you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. So I'd like to